Praise Yahweh, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight right here around the world on WWRB 3.185. Got a powerhouse message for you tonight, a barn burner. We're going to tell you about Canaanites. Have you ever met one? Oh, they just seem to disappear. Wonder where they went. You reckon they went in the interior of the earth and hid themselves? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I doubt that. I believe the devil's still with us tonight. We're going to prove it to you. And whether or not that you have met a Canaanite, it doesn't take away the fact that they exist. And I just believe that people are afraid to talk about them. They might get intimidated by the powers of the rulers. First of all, the Canaanites worship Baal. And he's the bull god, and it's represented by a bull. He's half man and half bull, the god of fertility. The sun god in Egypt, he was known as the son of the Nile, or Ra. He possessed Anakaton, that is, who is pleasing to Anton, the husband of Nephetra, that is, possessed by Ashtaroth. Nephetra was the originator of the Rosicrucians and the Masons' descendants. Baal promotes false religion and religious prostitution, as well as blood-drinking cults and shrine prostitutes. Now, I taught on the shrine prostitutes, and I was amazed at the information that is there about shrine prostitutes, both male and female. The Bible talks about it. I don't know whether you know it or not. See, the Bible talks about a lot of things that people just won't get into. They don't have any intestinal fortitude. They're afraid that they might say something bad about somebody. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the devil needs to be talked about, and very bad or boldly, because the Bible said that the apostles had boldness, and they preached the word with conviction. Moloch, you heard about him in the Bible. He was a Canaanite deity associated with human sacrifices, mainly child sacrifices. And a bronze statue with the head of an ox and the body of a man was erected, and infants, and it's going to blow you away when you find out what kind of infants they were, and they're still doing it today. We have hundreds and hundreds and thousands of young infants or children are disappeared. No investigation whatsoever. We taught on that. And we also taught about these human sacrifices and the blood drinking. We're going to get into that a little bit tonight. But just to display the one-third. Now, we talked about the Ashkenazis being possessed with the ability to be in the region where true Israel was, and they opposed to, they presented themselves as the children of Yah, and they got away with that. And the other third, we talked about being the other sect was the Khazars. Now, these basically are Eastern Edomites. And we're going to talk about the Edomites tonight on the other side that remained in the land. So we have two-thirds of this faction here represented by three different groups that are really warring against each other. And all three of them were in unison, trying to fight against Israel, and they did, because Israel was driven out, and these possessed the land. Now, Moloch may have been the Baal Hamon worshipped in the cities of Tyre and Carthage. His name means the Lord of the altar of incense. He was usually shown as an old man with ram's horns, holding a sickle. Moloch was also thought to be the Amalek of Jewish legend, an idol form of the sun god worshipped by the inhabitants of Shaharvan. Now, we're going to talk about the Shaharvians, which are now known as Sephardic Jews. They're not Jews. We're going to prove it to you. They're mentioned, by the way, in 2 Kings, here in 2 Kings chapter, or verse 17, 2 Kings, and verse 31. Let me read you a little bit, because we don't have time to get into this like I'd like to, because I'm moving on here in the series of Grow in Grace and Knowledge. Now, a good soldier will arm himself with knowledge. He'll study all facets, and there's many facets of the puzzle here, as Satan has hid himself cleverly in three factions of those who claim to be Jews and are not. There's something wrong with each part of the one-third, one-third, one-third that we've discussed here in the last couple or three messages on growing in grace and knowledge. If you don't know who your enemy is, you're not going to be prepared, because they came to kill you, steal you, and destroy you. And if you don't have knowledge, you will, I'm going to repeat this, you will be destroyed. You may think you're doing good. You may think you're right in the will of God. You may think you're doing things to please Him. Actually, what you're doing is pleasing the world. The Bible said that the things that are highly esteemed among man or his traditions is an abomination to Yahweh. The Avites, verse 31, I want you to mark it in your Bible and go back here and let me repeat the scripture for you if you're keeping studies with us and keeping notes. 2 Kings, in chapter 17, verse 31, the Sephardics, we're going to show you exactly that they existed here and they exist today. And nobody recognizes it. The Avites made Nibahaz and Tarktek and the Sephardites, there you are, Sephardites, burnt their children in the fire to Adrammelech and Amemelech, the gods of the Shaharvan, which are now known as the Sephardic. Oh, but they're okay, Pastor, but they're Jews. You can't speak nothing against the Jews. These are they that claim to be Jews. See, they're imposters. Christ spoke of them. Was Christ wrong when he said, I know them, the Sephardic, the Ashkenazis, who say that they are from the house of Shem. And if you say anything against them, they're going to pull a Shem deal on you. And they're the ones that passed the law to get their protection, that you wouldn't say anything detrimental to a Shemite. These people are not Shemites, and the Bible confirms it. So, they feared Yahweh and made unto themselves of the lowest of them. Now listen to this. They didn't get the elite. They were afraid of Yahweh. And made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the house of the high places. And they feared Yahweh and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they were carried away from hence. And unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not Yahweh. Now, isn't that strange? Up here, they feared Yahweh. Now, when it says they feared Yahweh, what they're talking about here is that they moved opposite of him, just like Adam when he transgressed, he moved opposite of Yahweh. I mean, he ran and hid. That's what these people are doing. And it's badly worded here in the King James for your information. And to this day, they do after the former manners. What were they doing? Blood drinking, sacrificing, having sex in the high places, in the groves, and drinking blood. And you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, I just don't believe they've done all those things. Nobody would do such a thing. the Shepherdic. We're going to talk about them tonight. We done talked about the Ashkenazis. Here is, and we talked about the Khazars. And now we're going to bring the other one-third into the equation and give you the line of the house of Israel, the liars that call themselves the house of Israel. And they brought by their colonists into Samaria Aramalek, who was turned into one of the 10 archdemons who appeared in animal forms such as a peacock, a mule, a horse, or a lion, and they have feared this god, this Moloch, a Canaanite deity. And what they said, to please the deity, children shall burn. Your children are mine. Placate me with them. You worship before you will kneel again as the young men are scorched. As the young are scorched, we welcome the end, the Lord of the altar of incense unleashed. The apocalypse begins. Now, that was written in Milton's Paradise Lost in Book 6, Line 3, which says, a touch of evil. A touch? Get real. Now, listen to one of the great prophets of the 21st century that just passed away. About a month and a half ago. Eustace Mullins, I don't know if you've ever heard about him or not, but he wrote several books. I just wish you could read them all. If you'd take time, probably you could. They're very inexpensive and just shot full of knowledge that you need. Ham, listen to what he said. Ham was persuaded by his consort, Nehemiah, to practice ritual murder and cannibalism. The word cannibalism comes from Canaan and the demon god Baal. In the book by Eustace Mullins, The Curse of Canaan, it's just a little bit deeper than what you ever figured. On page 12, written in 1987, and by eating, by consuming, drinking the flesh, drinking the blood, and eating the flesh. You say, ain't no people like that today, Pastor, but you just don't know what's going on in this world. I'm telling you, there is an evil, vicious cannibalism, consuming of flesh. These people are turned over to a Canaanite mind, and the Canaanites are literally running the world. And, I hate to say that. They were eating fair-skinned persons. He was told that his descendants would regain their superior qualities. Again, Eustace Mullins, The Curse of Canaan. Now, what we're going to form is that the way that the Edomites, who we're going to talk about tonight, who are the Edomites in our, who are the people that are enemies to the house of Israel. The lands of Israel and southern Syria once formed the empire of the Canaanites and the early Phoenicians. Remember I told you that David had to drive the Canaanites? Or he attempted to. He couldn't. I mean, here's David, a warrior, and he couldn't even run the Canaanites out of the city called Jerusalem. They were there before he got there. They couldn't run them out. Ephraim couldn't run them out. When they went into their own land, they had to live among the Canaanites. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is where that we get the bonding or the blood mixture of these evil Canaanites. And of course, you don't know none. If you've got knowledge, you know them. If you've got knowledge, your ears are opened. If you've got knowledge, your eyes are open. Blessed are your ears and blessed are your eyes, for you see and hear. The early Phoenicians, actually, the early Phoenicians in the southern Syria and Israel that formed the empire of the Canaanites, archaeologists have found evidence of a definite connection between the Canaanites and the Phoenicians. linking them to the Egyptians. The Canaanite pantheon of gods is similar to that of the Egyptians, the Hindus, and the Builders. Norman Paulson, in Christ Consciousness, on page 354, that was written in 1984. Cain, who was of that wicked one, oh no, I don't know if nobody's so wicked. Oh, everybody can be saved. Glory to God. If Yahweh is going to save Cain and his offspring, then what in the world are we suffering the persecution and the slavery? He made us the tail. This is the Cain seed ruling over us. We're in bondage to Cain. And if he can be saved, why don't we get on the other side? It would be much better. I fear Yahweh and keep his commandments. They don't fear Yahweh, which I just read you here. These are the Sephardics, which are the Jews who claim to be Jews and are not, and they're out of the same house as is the Ashkenazi, except they're from different factions, and in this case, they're from Esau. Now let's go a little bit deeper. Satan uses all manner of evil to harm and persecute, to kill and to steal the people of Yahweh. In their quest to take from Israel their God-given birthright, which was literally, they say, stole from them. Why do they want this birthright even today? Because one of their Adamic forefathers sold his birthright to Jacob Israel for a bowl of soup. Malachi chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, the book of Romans, Paul, in 9:13 tells us that Yahweh said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Hell yeah, he did at that time, but he, you know, Yahweh forgets, and now he's going to save him. If you think the blood of Esau can get into heaven, if you think the seed of Cain, who is mixed with Esau's blood now, see, anything he could get into, bloodline, to pollute it. That's what he's doing here. Satan uses all manner of evil. And now, after we find that Yahweh said, I hate him. Now, why would he hate him? When did he hate him? For what did he hate him for? Ladies and gentlemen, it's a foregone conclusion that Yahweh has got more knowledge than we got. And if you hate Satan, then you're going to hate these people that are from the bloodline of Cain and Esau. And yet, you don't know of any, do you? No, I don't know no Edomites. I don't know. Pastor Buddy, that was back in the Bible days. We don't have them around now no more. God loves everybody. Praise the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the biggest lie right out of the mouth of people that have been deceived and corrupted their good manners by not being wise enough and having enough knowledge to grow into the revelation of who the devil and his seed are. And if you will compromise, and you know, the churches will say anything you can drag, chase, or pull into the pulpit that will salute a pastor or the evangelist. I mean, anybody can go into the church and raise their hands and swear that they love Jesus Christ. And the church will take them in, give them the right hand of fellowship, and it could be the devil in sheep's clothing, and they are in most cases. We read that Esau grieved Isaac and Rebekah by marrying into the Canaanite line. Now, grieved them. Well, the Bible said, you'll know a tree by its fruit. If you think that Isaac was the father of Esau, I believe you got another thing coming. His mother, Rebekah, knew he wasn't right. She knew something had gone on. She'd been abducted by Satan and the powers because Isaac was a son of Yahweh, according to Genesis 21:1. When Sarah conceived, Yahweh had a big hand in it, ladies and gentlemen, whether you want to admit it or not. And from that womb, knowing that it had the birthright promise of Yahweh's Adamic redeemers, Satan come back on the scene, just like he did in Genesis chapter 3, when he wanted to pollute the bloodline. Here Yahweh made it, rectified it, and gave us a new bloodline. And Satan said, I gotta pollute this blood. And so then he jumps in. I believe he kidnaps Rebekah. She had some thoughts about it. And when she went to Yahweh in the 27th chapter of Genesis, she found out exactly what had happened. Yahweh told her, he said, two different bloodlines are in your belly. One of these is the son of Isaac, my son. And one of these is a child of the devil. Esau was a child of the devil, and that's why Yahweh hated him before he was ever born. You say, oh, I believe Esau could have been saved. Glory to God and hallelujah. Because God loves everybody. Oh, man, how deceived you are. You're poor, wretched, miserable, peace of flesh that won't bow and won't pray and won't fast and won't seek knowledge. You're going to be destroyed along with the seed of Esau. Esau ain't going to heaven. I don't care how. And neither is none of his seed. If you don't keep yourself pure, and the world has been bought into this, well, Yahweh loves everybody, and everybody can be saved because we're all one blood. That scripture does not exist in the original Greek. It's not in there in the 17th chapter of Acts. You may think it's in there, but it's not. If you read the 7th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, you'll find that there was 7 factions of Canaanite mixed blood that Yahweh said, kill every one of them. Kill every... I just got through a Saturday night telling you that Yahweh killed the seed of Cain. He killed him himself. Yahweh is a God of war. I had a brother tell me that today. I said, man, you're right on it, brother. Yahweh's a God of war. And yet, we've made peace with the devil, and that's why that we become the tail, and the devil's become the head, because, oh, God loves everybody. That's the biggest lie the devil ever told. Well, God so loved the world, and he gave his own... He don't love the world. That's an addition by the Catholic Church. You say, I just don't believe it. That's right in the Bible, and I believe it. Glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, how long will you be deceived? Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Bera, the Hittite, and Bashemoth, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, which were a grief of mine to Isaac and to Rebekah and to Aholibam, the daughter of Ani, the daughter of Zebulun, the Hivite, and Beshemoth, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Naboth. Genesis chapter 26, 34 through 35, and 36, 2 through 3. Evil Esau was a mongolizer. You say, oh, today it don't matter. If you got black blood in you and you got yellow blood and you got white blood. How do you know that you're pure? Nobody knows today. We're all mixed up. We all got tattoos on us. We all got earrings in our finger, in our hands, our nose, our tongues, and in our belly buttons and other places that I dare not to mention. Ladies and gentlemen, this world has gone absolute idiotic crazy. Although he was a son of Rebekah, she knew he didn't deserve the birthright. And she, under the influence of Yahweh, deceived this poor old miserable Isaac who had gone cataract blind. He couldn't even tell the distinction of the two faces when he had the feel of the arms. That's how blind that Israelites are today and destroyed for the lack of knowledge. It's a type of the blindness of the flesh of Isaac. The Bible said, a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. And Esau committed genocide by marrying into the bloodland of Canaanites, leaving his progeny as the Edomites, according to Genesis 36, verse 8. Esau is Edom. I'm going to repeat that. Esau is Edom. And if you think an Edomite's going to heaven, what do I have to preach so hard for? Why'd I have to just bring this so brazen? People say, oh, Pastor Buddy, you just don't preach like our preachers. They're so kind and so gentle. And, oh, I just go and I just love them. But when I hear you, I just can't stand it. You make me so cotton-picking, man. You ought to read some of my mail sometime. Well, ladies and gentlemen, do I have to apologize for your stupidity? Do I have to apologize for your lack of reading? Do I have to apologize for your lack of fasting? You never fasted a day in your life, and you never read two scriptures, and you sure can't remember one. Halfway. Listen, the Jewish Encyclopedia tells us that Edom is modern Jewry. Oh my God! It's one of the branches of modern Jewry. This witness from the 1905 edition records that the connection between the modern-day Jews and the race of Edom, and anthropologists are inclined to associate the radical origin or the racial origins of the Jews, but not with the Semites. Hello? Are you listening? I mean, their own encyclopedia is agreeing with Pastor Buddy. Why should you get mad at me? I'm agreeing with the Jews here. The Jewish Encyclopedia on the 1905 edition records the connection between modern-day Jews and the race of Edom. And the anthropologists are inclined to associate the racial origins of the Jews, but not with the Semites. But with who? The Edomites. They've adopted the language, but with the Armenians and Hittites of Mesopotamia, whose broad skulls and curved noses that appear to have inherited volume 10, page 284 of the 1905 edition of the Jewish Encyclopedia. What are you going to get mad at me for, you people that thump the Bible and call me up and bless me out or write me a real nasty letter? Why don't you go to the Jewish Encyclopedia? They're telling you the truth. That's what they say right here. Their language has been adopted, but with the Armenian and the Hittites of Mesopotamia, whose broad skulls and curved noses, you ever seen any in Washington, D.C.? Open up the eyes. Appear to have inherited this from Esau, Edom, which is now absorbed into the Canaanite people by means of the Hittite and the Hivite wives. According to Strong's Concordance, the word Canaan means trader or merchant. Well, I'll be a cotton-picking, low-down rascal. The word Canaan means trader or merchant or pawn shop dealer, in some cases, or jewelers. And the Phoenicians, as Canaanites, are derived from Ham's incestuous relationship with Naamah, the sister of Tubal-Cain, the wife that Noah took with him in the ark, Genesis 9, 18, 27, 10, 6, and 15, and 19. Old Ham. He was on the boat. Yep. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, the Bible speaks about only one of these having a covenant. And I am pro Shemite. I'm not anti-Shemite when I preach against these Canaanites who have wrapped themselves in the mantle of Jews, when the Jewish Encyclopedia tells me that I'm on the right track here. And according to Strong's Concordance, the word Canaan means trader or merchant. And the Phoenicians as Canaanites derived from Ham's incestuous relationship with Naamah, the sister of Tubal-Cain, owing to the intermarriage of the forefathers with Canaanites, there were probably few Israelites without Phoenician, that is, serpent seed blood, in their veins. Why's Buddy screaming and hollering for you to wake up to smell the coffee here? In Judges chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives. Oh, hello. Why'd I have to preach the Bible for? Why don't I just go back to tradition? It was much easier. Why don't I just preach smooth, enticing words for your uncircumcised ears? Because the truth hurts you. It's like getting up in your ear and screaming on a big PA system. People couldn't stand the truth in Yahweh's days, and you certainly can't stand it today, because we have gone farther and farther away till we are waxed so far that you wouldn't know the truth if you had it broadsided up against your head with a 2x4. And sometimes I feel like I ought to preach with one. Listen to this now. Would you please go to Judges chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 and confirm what Pastor Buddy's preaching? Or maybe I'm preaching out of a strange Bible here. It's a King James. The children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters, to be their wives. Here's the Israelites. They said, oh, you're all so fair and so wonderful and so good-looking. We're all one blood. We all came from Adam. If you believe that poppycock, you need to take your head off and open up your brain and see exactly where your shortness is and where the short in your brain is. It's not working right. You need a cleansing. You ought to go on a 10-year fast. And I would if I knew that my brain was so scatterbrained, and I believe that everybody that was born on this planet came out of the womb of Eve, and from the father Adam, that they were the father of all this crap here, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites. Why in the world did Yahweh hate them? Why did he say to kill them all? Saul got in trouble for trying to even sparing a sheep. He killed all the people, which is well as what he should do, because that's what Yahweh, he said, kill everything that breathes. But he saw those sheep and he said, well, they ain't doing nothing. But they were breathing. And so he took them, there must be some prized sheep there, so he took them, the rams and the ewes, and he put them in his pen. You see, greed, that's what the devil has done. He's compromised with the devil, went against Yahweh's word, and forgot the true God, the war God. Yahweh is a God of war.
You say, well, now, I just don't know. Jesus loves everybody. Glory to God. Holy Sunday. I feel the Holy Ghost here.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've been in 50 years of this Babylonian confusion. Phoenician is a Greek word that means a palm tree. And as such, does not appear in the New Old Testament, where the locals call themselves Canaanites. The name Kenan is perverged on a coin of Laodicea of the time of the the kings of that day, whereupon Laodicea is styled a mother city of Canaan. The Phoenicians, the Canaanites, were the most powerful of all tribes in Palestine at the time of its invasion by Joshua. And in speaking of their own territory, as it was before the conquest, the Israelites called it the land of Canaan. And after the... You say, well, I want to go to Canaan's land. Yeah, you want to go there hand in hand with a Canaanite. You got to get rid of the Canaanites before the land of Canaan is acceptable to Yahweh. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Do not mix with them. Do not take their sons for your sons or daughters. Do not take your daughters and give to their sons, or vice versa. After the conquest, the tendency developed to call only the coastal strip and the Jordan Valley the land of Canaan. As late as the 2nd century A.D., the descendants of the Carthians in North Africa called themselves Canaanites. The term Canaanite came to denote the member of a Jewish sect who was a zealot or a fanatical, which is mentioned in Matthew chapter 10, verse 4. Owing to the intermarriage, now listen to this, of their forefathers with Canaanites, they were probably only a few true-blooded Israelites without Phoenician blood, that is the serpent seed blood, in their veins. In Judges 3, 5, and 6, the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites. You say, there's nothing wrong with that, Pastor, but that's perfectly legal. God loves everybody. You see, we're jumping out of the frying pan and getting in the fire, just like the Israelites of old. The same thing is happening today because people won't pay attention to the Word of Yahweh. The Phoenicians, we know, were great maritime and commercial people, traders in the ancient world, and were preeminent in colonialization. The Romans transcribed the Greek Phoenix to Aponius, thus calling the Emirates to Carthage Punic. Augustine of Hippo stated that the peasants in his part of Africa, if I asked the race, they would answer in Punic or Phoenician. Canaanites. In Hebrew, Canaan means merchant or trafficker. To bend the knee, bring down low, to humiliate or vanquish. Genesis chapter 10, verse 18, the families of the Canaanites would be scattered, vanquished, or spread abroad. And that's exactly what happened to them. Canaanite, Khazar, and Edomites are all the names that accurately refer to the majority of people who call themselves Jews. The Jewish Encyclopedia tells us that Edom is modern Jewry. I didn't write this, folks. You say, well, now, you're just a little too brazen here, Pastor Buddy. Glory to God, why don't you just get back to the church and tell us to come to Easter egg rolls?
Why don't you tell us to put on our best, Pastor Buddy, and tell us to decorate the church at Christmas, and we just give gifts and love everybody. And when all these races come, and you don't have to be racial, you don't have to do that, just go ahead and marry them all. It's okay. Nothing wrong. We're all one blood. Glory to God. Shunned, I feel the Holy Ghost.
I've heard that sickness, this perverted Laodicea that's still going on today, in people that would merge with Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jezebites. It don't matter. We're all one blood. Brought to you courtesy of the lion, demonic Catholic church that is built on the city of seven hills and has deceived the very elect. Even the Jewish Encyclopedia, I want to repeat this again, tells us that Edom is modern Jewry, but you won't believe that. And you say Edom can be saved. So what's the problem here? Why don't we just love one another and get along, Pastor Buddy? You just bring up all these things.
And, you know, I just get a headache when I listen to you because I just don't know. You're just tearing me up. I've never heard none of this.
I've had people to tell me, what kind of Bible are you preaching out of, Pastor Buddy? I said, out of King James.
Well, I ain't never read none of it like you read it.
Well, maybe I'm adding to it. Why don't you go check me out? If you catch me out of the book, won't you call me? I've had a lot of people try to take some of the offers that I've given, and they call me up, and then about a 30-minute discourse, they change their mind because I have them reading out the same Bible that they've laid on their coffee table and put their pictures of their children in it and their little mongrels and everything else. No wonder you get mad at me. You've went so far in sin that you would hate me just like you hated the King of Kings. And the same type of people killed him are out to rule the world. In the Babylonian scriptures, the Akkadians were called the blackheads and the black faces, in contrast to the white race or Semitic descent. They lived in southern Mesopotamia, which is present-day Iraq, and worshipped the Trinity as El, or Ayu, the Father God. E-A, there he is. Now, you just put EA and Zeus together and see what you got today in modern Christianity.
They worship the Father God, EA,
the God of the Creator of man. And when you put that with the super god, Zeus, that the Greeks and the Romans, and need I say any more, the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, need I tell you who they are again? I mean, I'm making more enemies than I am friends. I know that. But when you preach the truth, you're going to be hated for the truth. E.A. Zeus. And boy, how you get on these. Boy, watch a preacher. Man, they'd be bellowing tomorrow.
Oh, God. I hear this pastor running around.
They won't call my name. They ain't got enough guts. Or nothing in the backbone. Why don't they just say, Pastor Buddy? I heard Pastor Buddy on the radio, and he was saying that E.A. Zeus is now Jesus. And I don't believe that. Jesus is my God. Well, that's what they said about Baal. And they were stoning the prophets and killing all of them because they were worshiping these false gods. Ain't nothing changed. It's the influence of Canaan, or the Canaanites. The pantheistic religion of the Phoenicians was a constant temptation to the polytheism and the idolatry. And as a great commercial people, the Phoenicians were more generally intelligent and civilized than the inland agricultural population of Palestine. And when simple-minded Hebrews, without a revelation, came in contact with this more versatile and apparently more enlightened people, some would tend to regard their exclusive devotion to the one God somewhat unsocial and monros. And in such a way, we must account for the astonishing fact that even Solomon himself, the wisest man, to whom Yahweh is expressly stated to have appeared twice, once not long after his marriage with an Egyptian princess, and on the night after his sacrificing 1,000 burnt offerings on the high place of Gibeon, and the second time after the consecration of the temple, should have been far beguiled by his wives in his old age, became a polytheist, or worshiping strange gods, including the female, worshiping among other deities the Phoenician or the Sidonian goddess Ashtoreth, which is mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 through 5, and 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 2, and chapter 11, which is my favorite chapter to look up what Solomon was and what he become, destroyed. Because he cast the knowledge that he had to start with to keep himself unspotted from the world, and he began to mate and lay with everything in the land, and Yahweh hated him and despised him and told him, he said, if I hadn't swore to your daddy, he said, I would take you off the throne tonight. But I'll tell you one thing. Just as soon as you kick the bucket, old boy, you got a big problem, because I will rend the kingdom out of your hand. And that's exactly what he done. If you think it don't kick Yahweh off when you go and mate and accredit every religion, we're all God's people. We're all one. We are the world. Yeah, my heavens above. Ahab comes to mind. After his marriage with a Sidonian princess, not only openly to tolerate, but to encourage the worship of Baal, Jezebel, a Sidonian princess, built a great temple with three altars, one each for the Trinity, Baal, Astar, and Moloch. And although before the Reformation of Josiah, 2 Kings chapter 23, polytheism prevailed in Judah as well as in Israel, and yet it seems to have been more intense and universal in Israel, as might have been expected from its closer proximity to Phoenicia, and Israel is sometimes spoken of as it had set a bad example to Judah and to their people in 2 Kings 17 and 19 and Jeremiah 3 and 8. The Phoenician religion, dreadful superstition, burning children, sacrificing to the Trinitarian gods like the Christians today, starting off with Jesus and going on into, well, the Father, then the Holy Ghost, says the triune. Ladies and gentlemen, the one God, the devil believes in one God and he trembles. The Canaanites originated the practice of demon worship and the occult rites of child sacrifice and cannibalism. When you give your children over to these ideals, you're sacrificing your child. And when you send them to these false churches preaching a false name, you're sacrificing your child. Eustace Mullins said that they sacrificed their children to Moloch. Greece was first colonialized by the Ophiates, or serpent worshippers, both of Egypt and Phoenicia. Cadmus was the leader of the Canaanites who fled before the arms of the victorious Joshua. In 1405 B.C., Joshua, the son of Nun, of the tribe of Ephraim, was the leader of the Israelites in their conquest. I've got to get off here. Who fled before the arms of Joshua and in the Israelites of their conquest of the promised land. Cadmus was an Egyptian identical to Toth. And according to Herodias, honey cakes were presented once a month as food to the sacred serpent in the Acropolis at Athens. A live serpent kept there was the guardian of the palace. Athenia was a city specially consecrated to Minerva. At Hazar in Galilee in 13 B.C., a small Canaanite shrine contained a basset stele depicting two hands lifted in prayer to a crescent moon. In the Wycliffe Bible Encyclopedia, page 1148 in Moody Press of 1975, the early Canaanites worshipped the goddess Ashtoreth. Ashtaroth, Ashtar, and Amoret, and Anath, Elite, Baat, and as the chief divinity, Eleanor, Ray, and Bernice, Mary Daly, created in her image, page 69, 1990, around the sacred stone, which represented the goddess Ashtaroth, and hundreds of skeletons of human intimates were found. She was the goddess of sexual love. Does it sound like a little bunny rabbit? A mating, sexual connotations here, ladies and gentlemen. Sexual love and firstborn children and animals were sacrificed to her. M. Easter Harding, Women's Mysteries of Ancient and Modern Times, page 138. And after about 1200 B.C., the Canaanites vanished from history. And I wonder where they went. Well, I just got through telling you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I got to get up here. My time is all come and gone, and I'm so glad to have you here tonight with Pastor Buddy. And we hope and trust and pray that Yahweh would bless you in devouring this message tonight and studying it careful. I've hurriedly went over just one third of what I need to. I might do a part two tomorrow night about 11 o'clock if you'd like to tune in. And we'll stay on the same subject, which wouldn't be a bad idea for us to continue in growing in grace and knowledge. Well, if you'd like to write me, I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. The hour's between 9 and 5 Central Time down there. I'll call Doc and tell him you heard Pastor Buddy on the radio. And Brother Paul, up in the great state of Michigan, 1-800-253-2748. And all of the people that love Pastor Buddy, knowing that I'm preaching the truth, have gained knowledge and wisdom and have studied all these things. It's nothing new to them. I'm just preaching to the choirs as far as they're concerned. But to you that have not heard, they hold my hands up and effort for me to preach to you. You can write me tonight. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. You can call me tonight. I'm live around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel, also transmitting. You can go to our website, oneyahweh.com, and Brother Bob has posted all of our messages for this year. They're up there for your listening enjoyment and for your learning and for your knowledge. If you'd like to go there and download the message or read the articles that we got concerning a lot of these subjects that we're talking about. Now, again, call me at area code 423-626-2172. I love you tonight, and many blessings around the radio network. Yahweh bless you, and until we see you tomorrow night, may Yahweh take a good liking to you, and may you take a good liking to Yahweh, and may you reach out and touch Him. Let's magnify Him. I'll see you tomorrow night, WWRB. 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 10 Central. We'll see you then. Yahweh bless you.